Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The death toll now tops 5,000 from yesterday's powerful 7.8 earthquake along the Turkish-Syrian border. Search teams and emergency aid are pouring in from around the world as rescuers dig through the rubble in freezing cold weather, hoping to find survivors. Correspondent Cammy McCormick.
In the Syrian city of Aleppo...
It's now a race... against time.
World Health Organization Chief Tedros Ghebreyesus says many areas may still be inaccessible.
We're especially concerned about areas where we do not yet have information.
Damage mapping is being conducted to understand where the focus should be. Search teams are arriving from around the world.
Turkey's president has declared a three-month state of emergency. President Biden says he hopes to have a conversation with the American people during tonight's State of the Union address. Our new CBS News poll finds he might be disappointed if they could respond. Deputy Director of Surveys Jennifer DePinto.
When we asked people to describe the state of the country, they picked the word divided most of all. 62% of Americans said that, and many also said declining and weak. Far fewer, just about 1 in 10, said strong or prospering when describing the country.
The U.S. trade deficit widened in December by 10.5% to its widest gap on record. The Commerce Department says dependence on imports grew as demand for consumer goods and cars picked up. BP Oil is reporting record profits of more than $27 billion for 2022. That's double the year before. Alice Harrison with the nonprofit group Global Witness accuses the industry of profiting from tragedy.
There is the war in the Ukraine, which is a war that's being waged with oil and gas money. And of course, there's the climate crisis. And at the center of all of those crises are a handful of oil and gas companies that last year got even richer.
The judge says prosecutors at Alex Murdoch's murder trial can use important evidence of financial crimes against the disgraced lawyer. Correspondent Nikki Batiste is in Walterboro, South Carolina.
2 weeks after this trial began, the judge's ruling marks a potential breakthrough for the prosecution. They say Alex Murdoch was stealing money from his law firm and clients and claim he killed his wife and son to gain sympathy before his alleged fraud came to light.
Health experts are worried the craze over prescription drugs that help you slim down are keeping them out of the hands of diabetics and the severely obese. CBS News medical contributor Dr. Celine Gounder says the side effects of Ozempic and Wegovy can be hard to take.
Nausea, vomiting, diarrhea. Some people really can't tolerate these drugs because the nausea is so bad. You know, it depends. Some people can tolerate them, some people can't.
The Dow's down 107 points. This is CBS News.
You know,
no one ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game, join the conversation with WFHR's Playmakers. Call in Monday mornings from 10.06 to 11 with your sports thoughts. And Tuesday through Friday, listen in while we talk with some of the most insightful, intriguing people in Morning Magazine. Talk radio that speaks to you. Get in the game, join the conversation at 10.06 Mondays with Playmakers. And Tuesday through Friday, Morning Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, February 8th. In Wood County, the McMillan Memorial Library Personnel Committee will meet at 4 p.m., followed by the Buildings and Grounds Committee at 4:30, and the Library Finance Committee at 5 p.m. The City of Wisconsin Rapids Police and Fire Commission public meeting will take place at 7:30 a.m. The Wastewater Treatment Commission meeting will be held at 1:30 p.m. The Waterworks and Lighting Commission regular meeting will be at 2 p.m. In Portage County, the Housing Authority Board of Commissioners will meet at 4 p.m. at the Housing Authority office. In Adams County, the Public Safety and Judiciary Committee meeting has been canceled. The Traffic Safety meeting will take place from 2 to 3:30 p.m. The Public Works meeting will run from 5 to 6 p.m. and the Landfill Advisory Committee meeting will run from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at Strong's Prairie Town Hall. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Clear skies overnight with a low of 20. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Highs level off around 41. Tomorrow, mainly sunny skies. Chance for snow tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 28. Overcast skies. 4 to 8 inches of snow tomorrow night through Thursday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 28.
Locally grown radio, your home for news talk and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Garbage has no partisan lines. Making sure people can get to and from work shouldn't have partisan lines.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw.
Know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold, 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday mornings at 8 on the Shaw and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
It's a really simple application, but then at the bottom it's going to say, it's required, so you have to put something.
Oh, cool.
You do have to put something, so why not put As Goes Wisconsin?
Even though Brian Kelly, who's coming up next on Dueling Tangents with Luke Mathers, did mention yesterday that his life was potentially in harm's way.
I know, and I love Brian, and I'll miss Brian, but...
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Welcome to the lunch hour, noon hour of our show. Thank you for joining us. Later this hour, we are going to talk about how the Inflation Reduction Act affects you and walk through some of the things that you can take advantage of, including potentially getting an electric vehicle.
Ooh.
That a lot of those prices are coming down right now, too. So we're going to talk about that. And then to kick it off, though, we have a very special guest that I'm very excited to have here, but as a little bit of a primer, you know, last month was Human Trafficking Awareness Month, and we had some guests on to talk about that and the prevalence of it in Wisconsin, being that in all 72 counties, we have had cases of human trafficking. And on September 21st, 2021, I made a video trying to raise awareness around the Safe Harbor Bill that was up for, I think, a public hearing, and it was a bipartisan bill. It was the third time it's come to the legislature in trying to, this breaks my brain to say. So in Wisconsin, as a minor, you cannot consent to sex, but if there's money involved, you can be prosecuted for prostitution. Riddle me that. And so, here to talk about exactly this bill, because it is coming up and it is a bipartisan bill and effort once again to revive this bill, is Representative Jody Emerson, who represents the 91st District up in Eau Claire and was also an adjunct professor at UW Eau Claire on human trafficking. And so she knows a thing or two about this. Welcome to the show. I can't believe this is the first time we're finally having you on.
Thanks so much for having me, Kristen. Good to see you.
So let's start at the beginning as far as, kind of in different words or with more detail, what I just said as far as what Wisconsin law says right now on this issue.
Yeah, I think, you know, how you described this kind of sums up Wisconsin politics, really. Like, it makes sense to do it. This is something we actually agree on. So therefore, it's going to take us like a decade to actually get it done because it's good for the state of Wisconsin. So the process of where we're at with Safe Harbor, I think it was either in 2015 or 2017, that session, we actually passed a law. And this was before I was actually in the legislature, that made trafficking of a child abuse. So then you think like, well, obviously the next session, we're going to clean this up and make it, you know, illegal for a child to be prosecuted for the child abuse that is happening to them. And now we're, like you said, on the fourth time of making this happen. So 8 years later, we're still fighting the battle. The good thing is, every single time we put this bill out, we get more co-authors, we get more co-sponsors, we get a bigger group of people who are fighting for this. In the last couple of sessions, we've had more than 50% of each chamber willing to fight for this, but somehow it still doesn't end up getting through. So that's where we end up with the Wisconsin politics piece. But
and so with that, because like I said, when I explain this, it feels like it breaks my brain as for who, like how you can see that these two things. And so for the people who do object, because even what you just said, as far as the fact that there has been over 50% of each chamber in the different times that this bill has come up have been like, yes, I am on board. And yet somehow it still hasn't changed. And so what are some of the concerns or the objections to the people who won't vote for it or who it hasn't clicked for them? And are any of those legitimate concerns?
I think partially it started out when I think it was the 2015 or 2017 session, we had a big omnibus bill that went through, and I was part of the advocating to get that to happen. And we took kind of a deferred judgment piece for juveniles. And, you know, that was the tack that we took then, because that's what could happen. I think some people who were in charge of that bill viewed this as usurping their bill instead of being a half a step to where we need to go. So that was a problem. There was, you know, ego gets in the way a lot of times in the Capitol. Surprise, surprise.
No.
It's not surprising, but it's extraordinarily disappointing.
Oh, there's been lots of martinis drank and four-letter words said about this whole process, but... And I have to say, actually, this is the bill that got me into politics. I said, no way in heck was I ever going to be running for office or anything like that. And after battling this for a couple of sessions, I was like, well, if I can't change it from the outside, let's try and change it from the inside. So I don't know, maybe if we get this passed, maybe I'll look at the next chapter in my life. So there's a little bonus for you, Republicans. Pass the bill. I might move on. I don't know.
That is a carrot if I ever heard one.
Right. But I think it was a piece of, you know, some people were saying that, well, this usurps my bill. My bill did this and this does something different. And I looked at my bill as being, you know, the halfway in between what we really need to do for children who are charged and are, you know, victims of sex trafficking. And then the other piece of it is that some people are under the mistaken thought that this legalizes prostitution.
Yeah.
And it absolutely does not. So.
And that was because Corey Hass over at Milwaukee Journal Sentinel had written an article talking about how this is coming up again. And one of the things that I forgot who, I don't know if she attributed to a specific person, but one of the concerns being that the idea that for a victim who's a minor, who's in a situation where they are being trafficked for sex, and in the situation right now, if the police were to get involved, they could be prosecuted. But in that situation, there's potential that they get inside the system and can actually get help. And like, it's better. The argument for whoever was making this argument is that at least in this situation, they have access to help versus the situation when they're just kind of like on their own again. And my reaction to that is like, but isn't there a different kind of help that we can do than a criminal record?
Yes. And I call BS on that because, you know, that was maybe okay 8 years ago when we were dealing with this to begin with. And, you know, especially in some counties to say, well, gosh, we don't have any services for these people, so they're safer behind bars than with their trafficker. We could get into a long talk about how that's not right, But even if we give them that argument back then, we've had 8 years then to establish services, to establish things, to establish systems to help people. And I can't think of any other crime where somebody is a victim, where we say, you know what, let's just toss them in jail because we're really just too lazy and don't have the political willpower to set up the systems to help somebody. I mean, if we think of like domestic violence, we would never say, oh, this person who is being abused by their partner is safer in jail than actually doing the work to get the abuser in jail. It just doesn't happen.
And aren't we out of line with, like, there's 30 other states that basically there's a federal, at the federal level, we're out of line with what the law says, and that there's 30 other states that have updated their laws, including our neighbor, Minnesota, to be in line with not prosecuting minors and
children.
Because
it's children.
It's, I saw at the end, it's the average age is like 12 to 14. We're talking, it's not, that's not 17 year olds, which again is still a minor and is still a young person who is not. Can be easily exploited, but 12 to 14 year olds,
right?
That's so young.
It's mind blowing when you really dive deep into this issue. It's crazy to think of how we put ourselves into mental gymnastics to okay this as a society instead of fighting to really get at the root cause of this. You know, making sure that we've got good mentoring systems, good education systems, healthy people around, mentally healthy people around, making sure that we've got things for kids to do, teaching them about, you know, how to use the internet and social media safely instead of just going, oh, here's your phone, go ahead. I don't understand it. So, you know, we're all taught about stranger danger as a child, but you don't think about the stranger danger on your phone. And so that's what I did a lot before I was in office, is did a lot of advocacy work, working with kids, working in the juvenile detention center, things like that, to teach kids safe usage of internet and how to keep themselves safe, and thought processes, and teaching adults how to teach their kids critical thinking skills about internet safety, too. So, yeah, and when we look at Minnesota, too, and I'm glad that you brought that up, Kristen, because Minnesota, when they implemented their safe harbor, which is a no wrong door model, so any intersection of the system that you come to where you're a victim of this, they saw their prosecutions of traffickers raise immensely. I don't remember the figures off the top of my head.
Lisa, because that's what I referenced in the video that I made. It was quadrupled. I don't know exactly what to what.
Yeah,
but
it's amazing to think, well, of course, if you're treating a victim like a victim and not like something that you want to lock up, they're going to help you. And that's what we need to get these people behind bars. That's where we really make progress when it comes to criminal justice, not putting these little Band-Aids on things. So,
all right. Well, we are going to keep Representative Jody Emerson through the break and continue to talk about the safe harbor bill, what political will needs to be there for us to get this passed. I know Jane has a question, and also just a little bit more on your background of how, I mean, as you said, this is what got you into politics. And so stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life and a brighter future. Children International and friends like you are giving these children a chance to achieve their dreams by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and more, so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Pride.
Left corner, three on the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Always streaming at waukradio.com.
To As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are talking to Representative Joni Emerson of the 91st District about maybe, possibly, hopefully, finally passing the Safe Harbor Bill in Wisconsin, which would make it clear that minors cannot legally consent to sex. And so any minors who are being trafficked can't get charged with prostitution, and which keeps a lot of people in situations from coming to authorities because their abusers can threaten them that they are going to get in trouble. And so, Joni Emerson, we're so happy to have you. And as we just found out, this is the reason you got into politics. And so, which, again, I would love to ask all of the different representatives, like, what, if you got that pass, is there anything that you would quit for? Because, well, my work is here is done.
Oh, no. See, here's the problem is that in the meantime, I found like 1,000 other problems that the state of Wisconsin has. So while this was maybe top of the list of things that needed to change, I found a whole bunch more. So I don't know. I'll tease them with the carrot that if they pass this bill, I might get out of politics, but I don't see it happening anytime soon. The list of stuff to do long in the state of Wisconsin. So,
Jody, the reluctance of some to pass this measure, as much as it pains me to say it, leads me to believe that some of them believe that 12, 13, 14, and 15-year-olds wake up one day and go, I want to have sex with strangers and make that my living.
You know, I don't want to try and get into the head of somebody who might even think that, because that seems like a scary place to me, how we can justify that. But I think it comes to the difference of how we look at criminal justice. You know, is it that we need to, and this is why I consider myself a criminal justice reform champion, you know, I want to reform the system. I want to make it so that we have a society that arrests fewer people for various things, not that we are building more prisons, making laws tougher, locking more people away and destroying more lives. And so I think, you know, some people look at this and they go, okay, this is the crime of prostitution. Something bad is happening here. We need to lock this person up, instead of taking the tact of why did this 14-year-old get involved in this situation to begin with? What is wrong with their world that they would even become, you know, in a situation where that could be an option for them? And so I guess that's the two different ways that we look at things is here's a problem, let's lock them up, or here's a problem, what happened so we can solve that for other people. Because it is so much easier to get a person happy and whole and healthy and productive member of society if that never happened to them to begin with, versus rehabilitating them from the physical, the emotional, the mental trauma that happens when they're forced to have sex with strangers multiple times a day. It's just, and again, think of a 14-year-old in your life. Think of a 12-year-old. Think of an 11-year-old. And think of them being forced to have sex, being raped on a regular basis. You know, that takes an awful lot of therapy to get them back to a healthy and whole place.
It's hard to even wrap your head around, honestly. And just for clarity, in the state of Wisconsin, minor or not minor, when it comes to the charges of prostitution versus solicitation, which one is harsher? The people who are trying to pay for sex or the people who are charging for sex?
You know, sometimes that depends on exactly what's going on with the DA and okay. exactly what they're charging. I don't have the statute books in front of me, so I don't want to say, oh, this one is, and then have somebody, you know, PolitiFact me tomorrow or something like that. But, you know, there is a lot of leeway that a DA can have. Okay. And that's why we're seeing in some parts of the state, when we do have a minor who is a victim of human trafficking, we're not having some DAs charge them with prostitution. They see them for the victim that they are. However, in some counties, that is still happening. And so that's why we need this statewide approach. Because if you're a victim in Eau Claire County versus Sheboygan County, you should be treated the same, not differently. And I'm not saying Sheboygan County does it wrong and Eau Claire does it right.
You're just using the example. Yeah.
Please don't tweet at me, please.
Well, and finally, I would like to figure out a way to hunt a high note, but I don't know if we can until this bill is passed. But there is a report card called the Shared Hope International as far as how Wisconsin is doing when it comes to trafficking. And how are we doing?
Yeah, so we're failing, actually.
Okay.
So
okay.
Political geeks, policy geeks like me love it when these nonprofits come out with report cards and say, this is what you need to do. This is what other people are doing, you know, and add up all the total and here's your grade. And we see this with various nonprofits and advocacy organizations. And Shared Hope International is a phenomenal organization started by a former congresswoman who is a very conservative person. So, but we agree on a lot of stuff. And Linda Smith has started this organization, and they really dive deep into policy, 100 plus pages for each state each year of what we're doing good and what we're doing bad. And the latest report card from Shared Hope that Wisconsin has is we've gotten an F. And a lot of that comes down to, and this is specifically for child sex trafficking or for child trafficking. You know, it really comes down to the fact that we've given the police a lot of tools to be able to do what they need to do. But what we don't have in Wisconsin is the services to wrap around the victims and protect them and get them safe and prevent things from happening in the first place. And so that's what myself and a lot of other people are going to be working on. And I couldn't leave the show without talking about Representative Billings and Representative LaTanya Johnson, who have been champions on this bill forever and ever and ever. And again, they're the people who got me involved in this. I don't want anybody to think that this is something started. It's totally them. So,
all right. Well, we will link all the information as far as more information on the bill, more information on all of this. Representative Emerson, thank you so much for spending time today. We will definitely have you back. Thank you for
your
work.
Thanks so much. Good to talk to both of you.
All right. When we come back, we got to go to, we'll be back. This is Ask Us Wisconsin.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis.
Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swelling. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to pva.org today.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy. You know what? We should make an emergency communication plan. That way we're ready this year. At my dorm, we have emergency kits for earthquakes and wildfires, but I'm sure there's something more local I can send you with a link.
Okay. Smart.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
When I was younger, I may have did some stupid things, even committed some crimes, but I am not a criminal.
I worked for youth advocate programs, I was Tamani's advocate, helping him stay out of jail, stay in the neighborhood, and get a job.
As a little kid, I experienced trauma and I acted out. Made some mistakes, but I'm not a mistake.
As Jalen's YAP advocate, I'm always here for her.
YAP is a community-based alternative to youth incarceration and neighborhood violence. Youth advocate programs. Learn how at yapinc.org.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. The warmer temperatures are causing snowmobile trail closures in the area. The Wood County Parks and Forestry Department announced that all snowmobile trails in Wood County are closed effective immediately, except the trails maintained by the Bakerville Snow Rovers. Those remain open at this time. Other trails in the county will reopen if we receive sufficient snowfall. Wisconsin renters may benefit from federal government initiatives to preserve affordable housing this year. Changes may include a rent cap on some tax credit-funded properties and more leniency for some tenants behind on rent. The National Apartment Association is disappointed by the new policies. They believe complex housing policy is a state and local issue and the government shouldn't get involved. Civil rights, legal committees, and housing councils are praising the move to ensure all Americans have safe, decent, and affordable housing. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Clear skies overnight with a low of 20. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Highs level off around 41. Tomorrow, mainly sunny skies. Chance for snow. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 28. Overcast skies. 4 to 8 inches of snow tomorrow night through Thursday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 28.
There's so many issues. There's so many things to fix. But that is one that feels like it should be a no-brainer.
Seriously.
And so hopefully the fourth time's a charm in trying to get this passed during this legislative session. But moving on to something that was passed last year, and I'm sure will be talked about tonight, is the IRA, not the Irish one, the Inflation Reduction Act that is now in effect. And so the name suggests it's an economic law, but in reality, it's actually a lot more, has a lot more to do with the environment. And so I thought we'd just, I saw this from, I think it was Up North News, which is a great newsletter, and they have a lot of fun. They do that. That's a publication that does a really good job as far as balancing fun, kind of light articles, but then also trying to break down what's actually happening with, you know, politics and try to explain it. And so they had an article last month that says, "What's in it for you?" It said wins for Wisconsin in the Inflation Reduction Act. And so one of the big ones, and I think we've heard about this a lot this winter, is the cost of energy and the fact that We Energies and everyone's bills have been going up. And even though they almost made Christmas really bad for
yes.
a lot of people. It wasn't, I mean, granted, they actually, their protocols that were in place saved everyone's Christmas, but the pipe that had, I think it was either leaking or broke, almost ruined everybody's Christmas. But the IRA extends existing incentives to help homeowners pay for energy saving upgrades from now until 2032.
Oh.
Yeah. And it significantly expands what incentives can help pay, to include doors, windows, heat pumps, and space heating and water heating and rooftop solar. And so this potentially is going to help Wisconsin reduce 13% of its greenhouse gas emissions that come from residential and commercial buildings, which sounds pretty good. And so in addition to the tax incentives, the IRA is giving rebates for appliances like a $1,700 electric water heater or an $840 electric stovetop or dryer. So as far as you purchasing efficient, better, like energy efficient appliances, you can get a rebate for that.
That's great. And it's especially great because all of our major appliances are now failing all at the same time. The dishwasher, the stove.
Oh, yours personally?
Yes, us personally. The dishwasher, the stove, and the microwave are all... yep. So this comes at a good time for me.
There you go. Jamie, yeah. You can totally take advantage of all of this.
I'm going appliance shopping, kids.
And so it's... I would imagine that it also the investment in those appliances then will also lower your energy bills. Because I think about this, you know, the heating of the house. And if you have... if you replace... and not that there's the rebate for, because a sliding door is not a appliance, but in the ways that you can make your house insulated better, mm-hmm. and so it traps the heat better in weeks like last week that were so frigidly cold. And so it's a win for everyone. It's less gases. It's more energy efficient. It's cheaper for you. You can get a rebate. In general, this sounds great. And so I think I have to do a little bit more research, though, on how to go about getting the rebate. And so
what kind of hoops you have to jump through or forms you have to fill out?
You know, if it's like, is this an easy thing? Is this a hard thing? What website have they created to do this? But it is there. The next one is renewable electricity. So the IRA extended the current federal investment and production tax credits for solar and wind energy through 2024. So next year. And it established a new technology neutral ITC and PTC, for the zero carbon and some very low carbon electricity generation technologies for 2025 to 2032. So basically, it could mean a 100% carbon free Wisconsin by 2050, which would be wild.
That would be amazing.
Yeah,
I don't see that happening.
Electric vehicles is the third bucket that, and I think this is interesting. Could you see yourself driving an electric vehicle and investing in one?
Cars just in general are so expensive right now.
Are you in the market for a new car?
My husband is.
Okay.
And he's been looking for about 6 months, and the one that he wants lists for something like $45,000, which I think is mind-blowing. It is mind-blowing to me.
For a car?
My first car cost me $8,000. It was a Buick.
Was it comfy?
It was.
I think of Buicks as being very spacious.
I mean, but it had doors and wheels and all the things that, you know, you need when it comes to a car. So the fact that they're now $45,000 and the dealer hiked it $25,000 from the list price. He found the one he wanted. He found it in Chicago. The dealer was asking for $65,000 to $68,000.
Did he go for it?
No.
I think I knew the answer to that.
No.
We're talking about the Inflation Reduction Act and how it's going to impact you now that it is in effect. This is As Goes Wisconsin. You're listening to Kristen Bry and Jane Madnair. And as always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. And in fact, if you own an electric vehicle right now, we would love to hear from you.
Yeah, definitely.
And if you have feelings on whether or not you would try to get an electric vehicle, we would also love to hear from you, because I'm pretty sure I want my next car, once my current lease is up, to be an electric, an EV.
Is that totally electric, not a hybrid?
I'd have to do more research. As we said yesterday, I don't know a lot about cars. But I would have to do, I would be someone primed to be taken advantage of at a car dealership. Good thing. That is probably one of the most sexist things where it's like, oh, she can't, she's a target versus, yes, I need my husband here to make sure I'm not taken advantage of.
I think these days everyone is getting taken advantage of when it comes to buying a car.
Oh, that's interesting.
I do.
Well, I mean, certainly with the used cars, but again, 844-967-2789. We actually do have someone who just said, skip the electric car and move to hydrogen. I would get a Rivian truck, but the battery and cold weather are issues I worry about. That's from Nick Baker on the Facebook live stream.
Hmm.
Because I feel like I would like to get, I think I want to get an electric vehicle. And part of it is there's now, both because of the IRA and also just because of diff Tesla and Ford are cutting their costs. So first I'll address the IRA part. So the Inflation Reduction Act includes $1 billion for zero emission heavy duty vehicles, including garbage trucks and school buses. So obviously I'm not in the market for buying,
not looking for a bus,
yeah. But you know, Wisconsin is a leader in manufacturing electric vehicles, and particularly specialty applications such as like Harley Davidson's big investment in electric motorcycles. And so the IRA's EV incentives will significantly accelerate the growth of EV sales and will sustain Wisconsin manufacturing economy. But what this means for us as consumers is low-income car buyers can claim up to the $7,500 in additional tax credits for the purchase of a new electric vehicle.
Wow.
So that means you could take up to $7,500 off your purchase price. Oh, that's a big chunk of money.
It is a big chunk of money.
Do you think that would have, was Paul looking at an EV car?
No.
Oh. he wouldn't have been eligible anyways.
No.
But
that would help convince me.
And it would help to convince me, too. And so, because on top of that, this was last week, Ford announced that it's cutting prices on its electric Mustang Mach-E model as much as 8%, putting the price range between $46,000 and $64,000, which, you're right, is still a lot for a car, but it's a lot less. I mean, it's less than it has been. And it's also, Tesla was just doing the same thing. Tesla rolled out earlier this month, like sweeping discounts. And both companies are basically making the cars cheaper, trying to convince more customers to buy them. And I know a lot of people, I don't know many people who do have, whether it's a hybrid or an EV, who are unhappy with it.
No complaints. They have enough charging stations. They're not getting stranded in the middle of nowhere.
They saved themselves a lot of money with the last year of how expensive gas was. Now, to be fair, I do not know anyone whose car got on fire. I'm sure those people, the handful of those people, were not super pumped about that. But I also don't know, because didn't we talk about this over the summer and we had someone either text or call in who said that those numbers are somewhat skewed as far as how often non-EV, the gas cars, catch on fire, and it's still more often than Teslas.
Maybe it's just because the Tesla on fire videos are so much more dramatic.
And it's, you know, what just popped into my head is the, as we have the Super Bowl coming up, and the Super Bowl commercials was the Larry David crypto commercial last year, and that the skepticism towards new things and the pointing, our propensity to point out how this isn't going to work at every glitch or failing or misstep in a new technology, even though those numbers pale in comparison to what the traditional model or the traditional choice
right.
also provides, because it's not like cars start on fire a lot, no matter what how they're fueled.
There's that.
And so, you know, it's interesting as this is becoming more affordable that I think this is a good thing. I think it's good to create these incentives to get more people like me who would never, I mean, still $62,000 on a car seems. And also, like, I don't know if I'm more of a leasing person than a buying person, so I don't know how this affects people who are leasing cars. But I am in favor of the more advancements and technology we can do to make cars more efficient, but also make them more affordable in the same way that the Model T revolutionized who could have a car.
Right.
And I think it's a good thing. But it's interesting because, of course, some people are not super excited about the price cut, including the people who spent the higher amount for the exact same car.
Oh, I'm sure that's got to sting a little
you're
bit.
Like, I'm sorry, you're charging how much? Can I get a rebate? I just last year for the exact same car spent how much more, and now you're just giving it away?
Yeah. Now it's on sale.
And so the big picture is basically, like, automakers, which enjoyed record soaring profits last year, are trying to brace themselves for the reversal. Maybe, as we said, maybe a recession's coming. And, you know, as they try to cut costs, push these cars, because I think a lot of them do believe that EV production and EV cars are the wave of the future. But it's interesting, and, like, because the government and the commerce is actually kind of swimming in the same direction, it feels like, for once. And so let us know. Would you buy an electric vehicle car if you got $7,500 off and a discounted price? 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages,
start your day laughing with Mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for Mornings on WFHR. We're a serious comedy to start your day.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Cancer can feel like something we can't do anything about, but you can. There are screening tests that can catch cancer early when it may be easier to treat. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, start colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
Hello?
Man, where are you? I thought you were coming.
I can't. I'm in bed with the flu.
The flu? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Grandma's about to crowd surf. Man, I'll call you back.
Don't get stuck at home with the flu. A flu shot is safe, effective, and you can get it at the same time as your COVID-19 vaccine. A flu shot is the best way to prevent the flu and its potentially serious complications. Don't get flu FOMO. Learn more at getmyflushot.org.
Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
News Talk Radio, streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to Ask Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Pry. It's a relaxing song to end the noon lunch hour with. Jane Natnair is on the board, and we were talking about whether or not you would, with the IRA incentives of a $7,500 rebate and the prices coming down for Ford and Tesla, if that is enough for you to make the jump and get an electric vehicle. And I would say I am... So far, I have to do more research, but I am in the camp of when my current Volkswagen lease is up, I'm going to explore the electric vehicle option.
Sure.
And so you are on the fence?
I'm going to drive my car until the doors fall off.
All right. Like that, a true Wisconsin.
That's my plan. That's pretty much my duct tape and gum, whatever it takes.
Speaking of that, you said that we have a text?
We do. Texter from the 262 says, yes, that would encourage me to consider an EV vehicle, meaning that $7,500 rebate and potentially the lowering of prices. But the texter also says, I'm in a unique position where I am in a good spot financially. The vast majority of Americans don't even have $1,000 in their savings accounts. How are they going to shell out for a $60,000 vehicle?
That is a really good point, because there's a headline from last week that we ended up not getting to, which was basically even people who, depending on where they live, who are making $100,000 who are still living paycheck to paycheck between how much things are costing and inflation and cost of living and everything. And so that's a really good point. But because I want to end on a high note and the duct tape and gum. The duct tape and gum made me think of a story. So let's end this lunch hour on a story. So growing up, my family's a big minivan family. My mother, Debbie Bry, loves her minivans.
Queen of the mini.
Never SUVs, always minivans with the sliding doors. And our house growing up in Madison, our driveway was pretty steep. And kind of curved. That's a whole other story, is how one time when she knew that I had taken the car when I shouldn't have taken the car is because I did a crap job parking it when I came home with the car. And she knew she would never have parked that way.
Oh,
it was pretty crooked.
Easy bust.
Yeah. But when I was younger, when I was like a kid, not driving, we would always spend Christmas Eve in Madison, just the four of us. And then we'd pack up the car with all the presents and we'd head up to Wisconsin Rapids the morning of Christmas Day. And you guys, you can probably imagine anyone with small children. I think my brother might have been 6 or 7, which would have made me 3 or 4. So little kids. And my brother notoriously every Christmas was sick. Just either throwing up or an ear infection or a cold, but he was always sick. So the stress of Christmas morning, my parents trying to get us all packed into the car, Ben's sick. And I think the story goes that the car was parked on the driveway instead of in the garage.
Okay.
As we were packing it, because this would have been before there was we had a two-car garage, so it was still one car parked behind the other. And so since we were taking the minivan, we were packing the minivan, and the minivan was at an angle because that was where you had to park it.
Sure.
And I think they went to open the sliding door, and it came right...
The door came off?
The sliding door on the minivan just came right off. And I can imagine, I don't remember this. I remember this only through the story of my parents telling this story. Sure. I don't remember this happening. But I can imagine that there was lots of four-letter words that were screamed. And literally, you know, I'm sure maybe the option was, well, we just can't go. You know, this is too much. Our kid's sick. The door came off.
Yeah, we're
staying home.
Sure.
But that is not what they did.
Oh, jeez.
They somehow, in the same way when you take your drawer out and you try to like line it up on the little wheelie things to get it back in your kitchen drawer, back in line, they somehow together put the little wheel back on the side of the car and got the car back on, and then they literally duct taped it to make sure that while we were driving from Madison to Wisconsin Rapids, that car door did not fall off and their three-year-old child, me, didn't fly out the window.
That is a great Wisconsin story.
Right? It's like, there's so many other options. We could have just not gone.
Sure.
But Grandma's going to be really disappointed if we don't go. So we're going to make this work.
Just put some duct tape on it. It's going to be fine. And isn't that nice? For you to know that they loved you so much that they did that.
That they put my life at risk. They're like, well.
They didn't have to use duct tape.
That's true. They could have just prayed and hoped exactly. that it was on correctly.
Don't sit too close.
So, yeah. So, when you say duct tape in cars, I think of my parents. I'm sure they love to know that. Oh, so yeah. So I am still on the side of I want to get an electric vehicle, because I would imagine if my lease is up by next year, there are going to be maybe even more discounts, hopefully.
Let's hope.
There's going to be even more advancements as far as the technology goes, and who knows what gas prices will be. So I think that is the move. And so I'll let you know, since you will still be driving your...
My 2012 Subaru, which I love.
2012.
I love that car.
So did you buy it new?
I did. And it was like $26,000.
Which you thought was a lot.
Yes.
It wasn't your $8,000 Buick.
No.
Was your $8,000 Buick new?
Yes.
So cars just used to be, I mean, this is...
They used to be affordable.
They used to be affordable. And they used to be...
A house down payment.
That's exactly what I was just going to say.
Because that's what they are now. $65,000 is more that we put down on our house.
More than what we put down in our house. It's interesting being back in Wisconsin, which is not, I would not say is a car culture, because it's just your car gets beat up so much as
snow,
far as the snow and everything.
Yeah, sure.
And granted, again, I am not a big car person, so my ability to even spot nice cars, unless they're flamboyant ones, is... I'm not very good at it.
Minimal.
So I could be making this statement and someone's going to be like, you don't know what you're talking about. But, you know, the difference of being here than LA, where literally the amount of money people put into their cars to be seen.
Right.
Is a very different culture than what we have here. And I prefer it because, again, I never feel stupid for not knowing what kind of car you're driving.
We're a little.
Literally, I don't care.
Exactly. We're just a little more real.
Yeah, we're a little more grounded.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are going to break for the top of the hour news. But when we come back, it is the no sour, haha, superpower, funny hour. I don't know. Greg will correct me tomorrow when he is here. But we have some fun in store as far as where the term bubbler came from. We're going to talk about 80 for Brady and how I wish I was on that press tour. And a couple more debates on etiquette for the 21st century. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
I'm Naheem Hines, professional football player and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care. And they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.